Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Rick Marcotte, who is president and CEO of DLT Solutions in Herndon, Virginia. DLT is an award-winning company that distributes a broad selection of best-in-class information technology products and services to federal, state, and local governments and businesses. Rick, you had told me that it's basically a value-added reseller, correct?
That's exactly right, Wayne. We are what's called a VAR in the industry, which is a value-added reseller. It's primarily a sales and marketing operation focused on public sector. That's about 98% of our business. We basically take the IT products and solutions of vendor partners and help bring them to government to help the government basically run government more efficiently. So you can imagine that's a pretty tough job.
So you're selling product, but you're also offering consulting, training, education, and support services, as well as the enterprise applications that you represent. What are some of the products that you sell at DLT Solutions to the federal government and state and local governments?
Yeah, the primary products that we sell are names that you've heard of. It's companies like Oracle, Autodesk, Symantec, NetApp, Quest Software, and Red Hat. Those are the sort of brand names on our in our portfolio. And we bring those into the government to help them solve their data management problems, their application problems, their open source problems, their cost containment problems. That's primarily what we do. In addition to the value piece, as you mentioned, where we have this 7x24 call center, pre-sales technical support, billable engineers, professional services, we just basically help the government solve their information technology problems.
Now, how did you get involved with DLT Solutions?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Back in the 90s, I actually worked for the founder of DLT Solutions at another company. And when he passed away right around Christmas of 2002, the executor of the estate asked me to serve on the board. I said, in honor to Tom, I'd be happy to do that. So got involved with the company in 2003 and then was asked to be the CEO in 2004 and have been there ever since.
And the company's, it sounds like it's tripled in revenue based on what you've told me.
Yeah, we're having a very good run. We really, when I took over back in 2004, we were in the $260 million range. Last year, we closed at $612. That's in 2009, and we're anxious in 2010. We're going to be somewhere north of $700, so I'm pretty pleased with that.
You know, it's interesting to hear this story because in an environment where the economy is struggling and we're having, you know, businesses go out of business, turn into bankruptcy, you know, declining sales, what's the secret? How did you all, you know, generate 3x growth, 300% growth in 6 years? That's an amazing story.
Yeah, obviously I'm very pleased with our success, but I can tell you that as opposed to swinging for the fences, which is the analogy, we're very specific on hitting singles.
Okay.
So right from the get-go, it was putting in place the fundamentals to drive value to the customer, represent the vendors better, add the 7x24 call center, add the program management office to manage contracts, add a business development group to go ahead and develop longer-term programs, add the training to get our people up to speed, develop the vendor relationships. All of these things started with fundamentals and I think have since helped the company grow. Obviously, with the commercial sector being a little bit in upheaval, we're getting a lot more competitors coming into the public sector because
right.
They want to, you know, go after the golden goose, as it were.
Right.
It's not simple. You really have to know what you're doing.
You really do. And you know, what would be the secret to your success? I mean, was there somebody that influenced you early in your career or anyone that really had an impact on you that enabled you to build the organization that you've built?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Obviously, with everybody, there's been people along the way that have impacted their professional life. My very first manager in the sales side, when I moved from an accounting and finance background into sales, which is an odd combination.
What a great background, though. I mean,
it
as
really
an aside,
does.
Having the accounting and finance background and then going into sales really helps you understand business, doesn't it?
It really does. I think, something I'd recommend to some of the younger folks coming up is anything you can do to kind of broaden your background really and get exposure to different pieces of the business or different businesses in general will help you in the long run. It was a great help. But that's where I first met a gentleman who was a traditional old school sales manager, all about relationships, making sure that, you know, sales is accountable. And he really helped me kind of make that move from sales and market from finance into sales and marketing.
What would be, in your view, the greatest achievement that you've accomplished in terms of professionalizing and growing DLT today?
Well, as I mentioned, it's a lot of singles, so it's hard to put your finger on one. But I do think back in 2005 when we established the DLT Service Center, which is our 7x24 call center. It's very unique in the public sector. We actually take first-line calls from customers in the government, help them with some of their problems. We know the products. We do it at a very high level. We've got the highest what's called a case closure rate of any reseller in the Symantec ecosystem right now, so we're pretty pleased about that. And that's a big commitment. Lots of people, lots of money, labs, ERP systems, training.
What is ERP for the listeners?
Yeah, that's an enterprise resource planning system. It's really the way you keep track of cases and escalate the cases, if you will.
Right. So when you have a problem, you start at one level, and if it's much more complicated, it escalates to another level.
And the more difficult it is, it escalates fast. That's the key.
Do you all maintain that here in Virginia, or is that somewhere overseas? Like we hear a lot of call centers are now being sponsored in countries outside of the United States.
Yeah, ours is right here in Herndon. It's U.S. soil, U.S. citizens, and it's
English-speaking people. That's a wonderful thing to have, thing to be able to rely on. What differentiates DLT from its competitors in the marketplace today?
Yeah, we run into a lot of competitors, obviously, in this marketplace. The fact that we have the engineering support, we have 350 technical certifications, we have a chief technology officer, we have our own organic business development team, a 7x24 call center, a very vendor-centric model where we get very deep with a few vendors as opposed to just having a portfolio of lots of
everybody,
different vendors.
Yeah.
Right. So those are things that I think are pretty unique to the way we run the company, and the professionalism and the transparency with our vendor partners and the value we bring to the customers is pretty unique.
How many employees do you have today?
We're up to 245 now.
And growing, I would imagine.
And growing, absolutely.
What's the greatest challenge in attracting good employees today as a CEO of a company that is growing rapidly?
Yeah, there's so much competition here in the Washington area. You really have to be, you have to have a success path, and you have to also have demonstrated success. What we do is we bring in a lot of people in their younger areas of their career. We train them. We get them good at government. We help them understand technology. We give them a fun place to work. We have a DLT Foundation, which is a charitable arm, which they can get involved with for grants, panels, and providing back to the community. There's quite a lot of things you do on the culture side, but you also have to give them the training and the career path as well.
Tell me a little bit more about the DLT Foundation. How did that start up, and what does it do today?
Yeah, we started the foundation in 2007 with a corporate investment, and then what we did is we set up a grants panel of employees, and we've now taken in grant requests from various charities, many of which are special to the employees of the company. They get reviewed. There's money that's been doled out to these individual organizations. And we also donate our time to things like Martha's Table and things in the Washington area. So it's a big part of what we do and a big part of our culture.
I think that's a wonderful thing. I mean, the fact not only that you have the private foundation set up to help fund charities, you've got people involved in the community, your people involved in the community. Is there something special that you look for in the employees when you're hiring them?
Yeah, there sure is. On the sales side, we put them through some of the assessments to make sure they think and have the DNA of a salesperson. And
give me an example.
Yeah, I don't want to say it this way, but there's got to be a certain amount of aggressiveness and
extroversion.
Extroversion for sure. You know, excited to make money, those kinds of things. So we get that kind of validation at the beginning, but we also look for people who have the energy, the enthusiasm, and the passion for what they do, and they can really fit in. We have a very collaborative environment, and we want to make sure that people are, can collaborate within their peer group.
Does DLT recruit out of college, or how do you find these people? How do you recruit new employees and new salespeople?
We do both. We have established relationships with some of the key schools in the area. We go on campus. We recruit from those campuses. We also have an employee referral program so they can go and help refer their friends, family, and people that they knew at the colleges as well. So we do a lot of college recruitment, but we also look inside the Washington area for folks as well.
Now, things have gone really well for DLT Solutions and for the company. And, it's a great story, but what challenges have you faced as a CEO? And, what would you advise other CEOs who are facing similar challenges today? So first, what challenges?
Yeah, when I first got to DLT, it was a little bit of an upheaval. I think one of the things I wanted to do was to bring in kind of a professionalism to the business. It was at a turning point in its development. a lot of relatively loose management. So we put in place basic things, HR handbook, making sure all the compensation plans are written down, chief legal counsel to make sure we're reviewing the contracts to prevent any sort of exposure there. Basic things, you know, the management system was run essentially on Lotus 1-2-3, so we really had to upsize the the way the company ran. I mean, that's the backbone. So you put in the fundamentals. That was really the first step. At that point, you start looking for the ways you can grow the business, the growth initiatives, those kinds of things. So for new CEOs that are getting involved, you know, my suggestion would be, you know, you got to make sure you have a bias for action. You can't just sit back and kind of get analyzed paralysis, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So get out there, make the decisions, place your bets, and if you're going to fail, fail fast and try and fail in the cheaper spots.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I've recognized over the years is it's not afraid. Don't be afraid to fail, but just make sure you recognize it and don't just kind of stay all in for too long. Make sure you're ready to pull the plug when need be.
So in summary, the challenge that you saw when you came on board was you were inheriting an organization that was fairly loosely managed, and you needed to install processes. And what it was lacking were processes and systems.
Yeah, that's correct. My assessment was it wouldn't be able to scale in the way it was being run at the time. So, you know, instead of just dropping on a GE culture, if you will, I was very thoughtful in how we kind of put in place incrementally some of these processes and systems to help make the company more scalable and have a stronger foundation.
Where did you acquire that knowledge to impart into DLT when you came on board?
Well, I was fortunate. I've had 26 years in various companies and in various positions, starting in finance and accounting, moved into sales, got into marketing, moved into business development, acquired a company. After I acquired it, the CEO of our company said, why don't you go ahead and run it? So I was really, I had a chance to really hone some of those skills over the years. So when I got to DLT, I hadn't really seen too many business problems at DLT that I hadn't seen sometime before. So that was really helpful.
So the experience was really key. So being a CEO without having the experience may be a challenge in and of itself.
It probably is. I mean, you know, walking into a CEO position at a company that was at the time $260 million, probably 130 employees, you really had to get on your game fast. So the experience was very helpful.
How do you manage the growth? How do you manage your staff today, given the size of the organization?
Yeah, I'm a pretty metrics-driven person. So what I do is really lay out the expectations in a collaborative way, and that helps kind of self-maintain and self-monitor the folks that work for me. We're very heavy in the science of the business, making sure we stay within sort of the statistical parameters, that the business is under control. And you hire great people, and you give them their task, and you kind of help get out of the way a little bit, and you're there when you need them, but you really kind of help them get inspired to grow their businesses.
Have you surrounded yourself with any advisors? I mean, I know you have law firms, et cetera, accounting firms that help you, but do you have a board of advisors or a board of directors that helps guide you in running the company?
Yeah, we sure do. We have a private equity firm who's a majority shareholder. They obviously have some strong talent that helps us as well.
Right.
And even prior to that, you know, within the community, I had quite a few people that I could lean on. Some of them are in our vendor community, actually, that help give us some advice on the kind of best practices and things to do to kind of make sure we get to the next level.
And stay ahead of the curve, particularly on the software technology side, right?
It changes fast, so you're absolutely right that we have to be one step ahead and kind of know where the puck is going to go as opposed to just sit and wait to shoot it.
I wish you could show that to the Capitals. What would you like to achieve over the next year?
We think we're on a great path. Our objective is really to continue the growth, build some more foundation, expand into some new markets, even get better with the vendors that we have today, and keep the work environment really enriching for the individual, fair, and fun.
We're talking with Rick Marcotte, who is president and CEO of DLT Solutions. Rick, if people want to know more about your company and the opportunities, not only as to become employed by the company, but also for buying products and services from your company, how do they find out about you?
Sure. It's pretty simple. It's www.dlt.com, and we've got a pretty rigorous website and a lot of information there on the products we sell, the markets we serve, and the way to get involved with the company.
It's been a pleasure having you as a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth today.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it.
And next week, tune in for another special topic and special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. And also, please check out the Washington Business Journal, where I have my monthly column, Blueprint for Wealth, on topics of tax, estate planning, and corporate law issues. Have a great week. Talk to you next week.